Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, the war, such as it is, multi-front war that the United States has been fighting, has dragged on for a long time. Not the longest, but a long time. And although the casualties are low, the American people have grown increasingly uncomfortable with our engagement in war. Of course, war is perennial. If it isn't here, it's someplace else. Jesus often talked about war and rumor of war. But how do Christians deal with it? How do governments largely formed from Christian ideals deal with it? Is there such a thing as a truly just war, or is that merely the philosopher's dream that he could find a way of, through sophistry or careful thinking or reframing of the question, take the evil out of war? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us for the remainder of this hour, live this Tuesday, February the 3rd, to talk about just war. He's professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christians in the Public Square. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Is war intrinsically evil?
Well, the only third evil that philosophers talk about, the only third evil would be something done purely by the devil himself. War is certainly not a third evil, and in Scripture, it's not unqualifiedly condemned. That is to say, in the Old Testament, the Lord commands Israel to engage in struggles, in warlike activity, and it's interesting that in the New Testament, John the Baptist doesn't ask soldiers to abandon their profession, Luke 3, nor does Jesus ask that of the centurion at Capernaum in Matthew 8, and Peter doesn't ask that of Cornelius in Acts 10. So what we can say here is that war is not an unqualified evil, but having said that, there is no doubt about the fact that war is hell. War is hell. It's hell as described by the people who have been involved in wars through history, by the great writers. And so the question really is, how should we treat this theologically?
Okay, then let's talk about whether or not just war theory is merely a theory. That is kind of the occupation or the amusement of those who like to think about such things, or whether or not it actually finds a manifestation, if there is such a thing as a just war in the course of human events?
Well, here, I suppose it's worthwhile citing the Augsburg Confession, which says in Article 16 of Civil Affairs, our churches teach that lawful civil ordinances are good works of God, and that it is right for Christians to bear civil office, to sit as judges, to judge matters by the imperial and other existing laws, and to award just punishments, to engage in just wars. So the Augsburg Confession, that great Lutheran confession, does speak of just wars. And, of course, one can make a distinction between wars that are less ghastly in terms of their ultimate purpose and wars that are more ghastly. In the Second World War, the U.S. fought against a dictator or dictators, Adolf and company, who certainly would have removed Christian values from Western civilization, The Japanese would have removed them from the East, and their activities against humanity were unbelievable, the death camps of the Second World War and so on. So that war was a war where the soldiers on the Allied side had the right to fight. They were engaged in a lesser of evils. That is to say, if they had refused to fight, the end result would have been hideously worse. Many feel that in the case of the Vietnam War, there wasn't a sufficient justification for doing this. Therefore, we certainly have to look at wars empirically. We have to see what they're endeavoring to accomplish. But none of that would ever say that war was a positive good. War is hell. It's never a positive good, but it may turn out to be a lesser of evils.
So when we talk about just war, we might also perhaps talk about necessary war.
Well, yes. A necessary war would be, for example, a war of defense. When some hideous power is attempting to destroy one's country, that would be a very obvious example of this. But the real questions come in terms of whether one ought to engage in war which is not defensive in nature as such, but which exists in order to prevent, allegedly, greater evils from occurring. This is the problem of the preemptive strike, for example. Is it right for Israel to have gone gone against Iran's nuclear facilities and blow them up ahead of any war? This occurred a number of years ago, and it's a potential situation right now. And what about the question of humanitarian intervention? Was it right to go into Iraq to remove Saddam as a miserable dictator, even though that was not a threat to the United States as such at all? And if that was a legitimate thing to do, as I think it was, what about the situation in Zimbabwe? What about Mugabe? Mugabe has literally ruined a wonderful country that used to have a fine economic level and an excellent lifestyle for its people. He has literally ruined an entire nation, the old Rhodesia. In my judgment, it would be a lesser of evils to go in there and clean him out than it is to allow him to continue doing the kind of thing that he has been doing.
Some might use Jesus' own words, turn the other cheek, to justify a pacifist position as advocated by Christians. How would you respond to that, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, the Sermon on the Mount, in talking about turning the other cheek and if someone takes your coat, you give him whatever else you have and so forth, the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount was not to solve this kind of problem that we're dealing with right now. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount was indicated when Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." That is to say, the Sermon on the Mount was to show the listeners, the hearers, and ourselves that we do not arrive at the standard of perfection, of ideal moral perfection that God would have of us. And therefore, we need Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to save us. The Sermon on the Mount was the law acting as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to move the people who heard that to realize how badly, how desperately they needed what Christ was going to provide on the cross. And it is the mark of religious liberals who don't understand how to interpret Scripture that they have taken the Sermon on the Mount as a kind of plan for human society. And a justification for pacifism, for example. Now, there are situations where pacifism is the lesser of evils, but there are also situations where pacifism very definitely isn't. The Second World War, I've already cited this, Second World War is a an example of a situation where the pacifist was actually going with the greater of evils, because the person who refused to fight in the Second World War was saying that he would prefer to have the Axis powers take over the world than to engage in any struggle against them.
With only about a minute here before we take a break, Dr. Montgomery, it's often said one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not kill. Is it always sinful to kill?
Well, the people who interpret the commandment that way don't seem to understand that the word there is murder. It isn't kill. I mean, if it were the general word for killing, then we couldn't, for example, kill any animals or eat any animals or engage in any kind of capital punishment under any circumstances whatsoever. But the word is not that at all. And obviously it isn't, because the Israelites didn't take it that way in their dealings with the surrounding pagan peoples or in regard to the Deuteronomic law.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest, Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's authored and edited more than 50 books, including Christianity in the Public Square. You can find out more about Dr. Montgomery's books under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. It's Tuesday, February the 3rd. We're coming to you live talking about just war. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. You can join us as well with questions or comments for Dr. Montgomery. Do you believe that war is ever just, or do you believe that there's such a thing as a just war? If so, how would you define it? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, you know, we have this kind of remote control war possible nowadays. You sit in an office and somewhere off in the rest of the world, someone is being bombed by your bombs. Is that kind of war intrinsically unjust? We'll be right back.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A fish in the womb? Surely not.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at our national Answers for Darwin conferences coming next month.
Okay, picture this. A teenage girl walks into a doctor's office. She's a few weeks pregnant and wants an abortion. Now the doctor, in this case is actually a Christian friend of mine, gives her a paper and pen and says, okay, draw what you think your baby looks like at this stage. Well, she drew something that looked like a jellyfish or a fish, nothing that resembled a human being. Then the doctor showed the girl what was in her womb was really a human baby, with arms, legs, face, and so on. She was shocked. Now, where did she ever get the idea that her baby looked like a fish? You know, sadly, this false information comes through our education system and also in many clinics to justify abortion. And ardent evolutionists popularized this idea that as an embryo develops in its mother's womb, it goes through supposed evolutionary stages of a jellyfish, fish, reptile, and so on. But this was shown to be false years ago. But it still lingers. Human embryos are fully human.
Is the idea of global warming false? For a balanced view, call and get a copy of our new handbook on global warming. We'll send it in the mail to you after you present our nonprofit ministry with a donation of any amount. Call toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or visit our website, answersoffer.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is it good for? Absolute
We're talking about just war. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. It's Tuesday, February the 3rd. Dr. Montgomery, what have traditionally been the criteria for declaring a war just or unjust?
Well, the primary criterion has been whether the war was defensive or not. And if the war is defensive, then presumably it is just in the traditional terms. And if it's an offensive war, then it depends upon the object of it. But I want to clarify this a little bit. This just war theology, as it were, was developed in the Middle Ages in a Roman Catholic context, and the object of all Roman Catholic ethics is to find a way by which you can justify yourself and not feel guilty for doing what you're doing. This is the Roman Catholic concept of casuistry. And it's fascinating that many evangelicals have this very same philosophy. The whole idea is to maintain your sanctification under all conditions, your holiness, and indeed, in a Wesleyan sense, to arrive at some kind of perfection. And the trouble with this is, of course, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Scripture makes perfectly clear that none of us is able to justify ourselves. Therefore, the Reformation position is far better on this. The Reformation position is that you don't ethically think ever that you can justify yourself. Whatever your action is, it's not going to be perfect, and your decision on a just war, or your decision to serve in the army or whatever, may or may not be the ideal. It certainly is going to turn out to be an evil, hopefully the lesser of evils, because the war will have to be won, otherwise the result will be worse. But the whole idea of making ethical decisions of this kind is to recognize that we are sinners, and these then drive us to the cross to ask for forgiveness and dependence upon Jesus Christ to justify us, rather than our trying to justify ourselves. And therefore, I become very nervous in the face of Roman Catholics who are trying to stick in their thumb and pull out a plum and say, what a good boy am I, in relation to a world conflict, or evangelicals who think that, somehow, whatever decision they make, they can justify it before God.
Joe in St. Louis emails us. He asks, can we look at war as an extrapolation of Romans 13? The king, using the sword to maintain order and punish evildoers, is self-defense a valid justification for war collectively or fighting back individually? Do we have an obligation to go to war apart from self-defense to stop the evildoer from harming another? Your thoughts on those questions, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, in the case of defensive war, it's a lesser of evil, surely, to fight in order to prevent the enemy from conquering and destroying your country. And by the same notion, it can be a lesser of evils to engage in a preemptive strike or to do what is called technically humanitarian intervention, to go into a country in order to remove the dictator and bring about a greater level of human rights within the nation. But notice that this is still an evil in the sense that if it hadn't been for the fall of man and hadn't been for our radical selfishness, we would not have to use these methods in order to achieve proper results. I mean, there obviously is not going to be this kind of thing going on in heaven. And ideally, if there's any other way to achieve proper ends through diplomacy, without compromise, but diplomacy, or other techniques, political techniques, in order to achieve justice, these ought to be used in preference to war. War is going to be a last resort. And when it does take place, it is simply a reflection of the miserable condition of a fallen race, that it's necessary to go out and kill God's creatures in order to achieve a lesser of evils.
Anne is listening in St. Louis. Anne, thank you for waiting and welcome.
Well, and thank you very much for handling this topic. My question is that, if I remember rightly, David was unable to build the temple because he was a warrior, if I'm right, and I just have always been a bit puzzled by that. Could you explain?
All right. Thank you, Anne. Dr. Montgomery.
Well, in the early Middle Ages, if a person had been a soldier, he was not allowed to become a priest. That is to say, there's always been the recognition, both in Scripture and in the history of the Church, that engaging in war is a dirty business. This reflects exactly what I've been talking about, that war is hell, that engaging in war is just, in quotes, only when it's a lesser of evils. War is never a positive good. In the Dr. Strangelove film, the reason why the military commander there is a maniac out of his mind is because he thinks that war is something positive, that it's something that is an inherent good, and it's never that kind of thing. Now, that doesn't mean that when wars do turn out to be a lesser of evils, that a soldier is engaged in something dreadful to fight in behalf of justice. And that's why our Lord doesn't condemn soldiers per se. Fighting is not per se a career that one cannot engage in. It'll depend entirely on the nature of the conflict as to whether the soldier's activity in that conflict is a lesser of evils or not.
Andy's listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Good afternoon, Todd. Dr. Montgomery, you have pretty well stolen all my thunder, but I'll just give you my personal experience, if that's all right. During the late 60s, when we were involved in the Vietnam War and I was in college, I felt very self-justified in opposing the war. It seemed like an evil thing to me, and I thought, well, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, and I'm going to be a peacemaker. On the other hand, of course, the position of the pastor at the Lutheran Church was the traditional Lutheran position. It was that you support your government, and it is sinful not to. But now, of course, I recognize that the peacemaking that Jesus was talking about was peace between God and man, not between nations. And I also realize that I was somewhat arrogant, that I was actually sinning by trying not to sin. And I'll just leave it at that.
Andy, thank you so much. Dr. Montgomery, your response.
Yes, well, I would not say, as maybe that Lutheran pastor said, that no matter what the government decides to do, that is necessarily just. Romans 13 says that we are to be subject to the higher powers, but of course that's in the context of an imperial situation where it was impossible to engage in any kind of democratic protest. And at the time of the Vietnam War, if one considered the Vietnam War to be unfortunate, then it was perfectly legitimate to try democratically to oppose the country's involvement in that kind of thing. The trouble with an unqualified pacifism is the same as the problem with an unqualified a positive attitude toward war. Both of these say that here in this sinful world, we can arrive at a position which is absolutely correct ethically, either to fight, you know, or never to fight. But it isn't like that. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there has been a theological position developed called qualified pacifism. And qualified pacifism means that one examines the nature of the conflict to see if this conflict is indeed a lesser of evils. And then, if it is a lesser of evils, then one fights. But if it is a greater of evils, then one maintains a pacifistic position in relation to that particular conflict. And it seems to me that that is exactly the idea that is set forth in Scripture. And in neither case are we able to stick in our thumb and pull out a plum and say, what a good boy am I. In either case, this ought to help us to understand just how fallen we are as creatures. And this should drive us to the cross. This is the law functioning as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's really the value of analyses like this. The value is not to try to find some ideal standpoint from which we can look out on the ethical situation and judge it in absolute terms. The purpose of this kind of thing is to help us to understand just how desperately we need Jesus Christ.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about Just War when we come back 10 more minutes with him and with you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I believe it could be something good has begun. For peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. What kind of physical and mental anguish did Jesus endure in the hours leading up to his death? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled He Was Crucified. It's written by medical doctor Gerald Stanley. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase He Was Crucified by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Enrich your meditation on Christ's passion with He Was Crucified, 1-800-325-3040.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about depression, the silent epidemic, at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
LCMS, Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or you can make a credit card donation at our website, issuesetc.org, Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. Issues, etc.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. We're talking about Just War with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. 10 more minutes with him on this subject. Dr. Montgomery, you're the director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Tell us a little bit about this summer academy in France.
Well, it's a two-week opportunity to study the defense of the faith in depth with the very best people who have defended the faith and who are doing so in our secular society. This summer, for example, we have Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of Concordia University. We have We have Parton. We have Craig Parton, whose books in the area of the defense of the faith are well known in our circles. I am teaching, and so is Mike Horton. Mike Horton is the leading figure on the White Horse Inn radio broadcast, national radio broadcast, and the editor of New Reformation magazine. These people, over a two-week period, provide the answers to the objections that non-Christians are presenting at this very moment, the new atheists and all of them. We deal with these over a two-week period in the French Rhineland. Normally, the registration deadline for this coming July has already passed. It's the 1st of February, but we have places available, and this is an ideal time to do such a program. We certainly recommend that listeners to Issues Etc. get in touch with us as soon as possible to make it possible for them to participate. And incidentally, there are $1,000 scholarships still available for the program this summer. That's significant because that cuts down on the cost of the program considerably. The program is normally $2,995, and now it will be only $1,995 for people who can qualify for these scholarships.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. Dr. Montgomery, what about international conventions such as the Geneva Conventions? Should Christians be wary of such things when it comes to the issue of just war and war in general?
Well, there are a lot of evangelicals who are frightened witless at anything international. They are so convinced that if a thing isn't American, it can't possibly be right. But I hate to remind our listeners of this, but Holy Scripture and its standards are above those of all nations, and that means that no country is necessarily right in, under all circumstances. And these international conventions to reduce the horrors of war are certainly in accord with the principles of Holy Scripture. The Geneva Conventions, for example, make a distinction between combatants and non-combatants in order to prevent soldiers from doing things to civilians who aren't even involved in the military that they never should do. We should certainly support this kind of thing. Now, these international conventions are not Holy Scripture. They are not perfect, but they have done a great deal to mitigate the horrors of war. And we should also try to refine them to deal with the current difficulties that arise from terrorists who are not apparently representatives of any particular government, who are not in uniform and the like, but who are nevertheless human beings. We certainly don't want to think that the end justifies the means simply because our war may be just or a lesser of evils. Thus, we must not engage in torture in order to get confessions, and I am going to be just delighted to see the closure of Guantanamo Bay. Seems to me that this has not helped the United States in any way and has hurt the image of the United States internationally.
As to means, we now have the ability, at least the United States and many other countries now have the ability to engage in war in kind of a point-and-click fashion. That is, a soldier might be sitting far behind the lines, or perhaps even safely back in the United States, directing an unmanned drone on the battlefield and taking lives there. Some would say, while that means may be available to us, it is inherently unfair or unjust way to carry out combat operations. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I don't think that there are any means that are inherently wrong. The idea, of course, is to make sure that any weapon is focused and is used in relation to combatants and not in relation to civilians. Therefore, it doesn't make a great deal of difference where the thing is launched. At the same time, this gets messy. The Israelis have been engaged in a a war in the last few weeks against the Hamas in Gaza, and there Hamas has put its locations in schools and hospitals and private homes in order to make it impossible for them to be eliminated. And the Israelis have taken the view that if they have told these people to get out of there and they don't do this, then they have only themselves to blame if the attacks, the rocket attacks and the like, go into civilian areas. And in a sense, there is legitimacy to this. There's legitimacy to this. It's Hamas who has been firing missiles into Israeli territory. How long would the U.S. put up with that kind of thing if the missiles were going into U.S. territory? I don't think they would put up with it. The U.S. would put up with it for 10 seconds. But that shows how messy things have become in this sinful world, that now it becomes so difficult to distinguish the military from the civilians, and when the military or the terrorists will use civilians as shields, then it becomes doubly difficult to make our decisions. But again, these decisions are always going to be lesser of evils decisions, and whatever the decision, they ought to drive us to the cross.
In our American context, we always have the war kind of at our doorstep. If you were to advise our new president, Barack Obama, with regard to his conduct of war as commander-in-chief, what would be the one thing you want him to understand about just war? About 1 minute, Dr. Montgomery.
Yes, I would want him to see that Holy Scripture is not just a symbolic kind of thing that you identify with in order to get elected. I would want him to take Scripture seriously, and that means taking seriously its content. And what is its content? It's law and gospel. And on the law side, the idea is to analyze a difficult situation, whatever it is, and to try to operate in terms of maximal justice or minimal evil. And in the course of doing this, one must recognize that however one's decisions go, those decisions are not self-justifying. They won't justify the president, and they won't justify the country. What they should be doing is to drive both president and nation to Jesus Christ, to the cross, for salvation, for personal redemption. And it's only by the redemption of the individual, the president and the citizenry, that a country ever is able to advance in terms of the kingdom of God.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christianity in the Public Square. Dr. Montgomery, always a pleasure, and thank you again.
You're most welcome.
Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is called He Was Crucified. It is a series of beautiful reflections from a medical doctor on the physical and mental anguish that Jesus endured in the hours leading up to his death as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You can find the cover of He Was Crucified at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series with Scott Klusendorf on bad ways to argue about abortion. Tomorrow, disguising your true position by appealing to the hard cases. Just say what you mean rather than appealing to the exceptions that may in fact be proving the rule. We'll talk about that tomorrow with Scott Klusendorf on Issues Etc. War is hell and war is a necessary evil. That means that we as Christians operate in this society, a fallen society. We, the redeemed, operate in the society not only as conscience, but also as, in many ways, the ones who have a message of true peace. See, peace is never achieved here in this world. The means of men will never achieve peace. We can't fight our way to it. We cannot sit out the fight and hope for peace. There is one source and one way of peace, and it is the man Jesus Christ. As we speak as a conscience in the public square on issues like war and torture and the justness of such things, we also need to speak louder, even more clearly, about the true peace that is ours only through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our message for the world. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.